Welcome to Fanbase Radio, a sports podcast hosted by three friends who give the hottest takes on everything sports. You won't want to miss this. Stay tuned for a fabulous show. Now let's get it. Hello, friends. Fanbase Radio has returned just in time for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing great, my friend. Glad to be watching some gritty playoff football. A lot of upsets, a lot of exciting things going on, some passing of the torches, some great drama, and some absolute Bears-flavored Schadenfreude as well.
Man, it's a good morning to be a Packers fan. Welcome, Packers fan.
Welcome, Packers fan. How you doing, my cheeseheads? How you doing?
Choking on that cheese, I'm sure.
If you can fit it into your fat gullets.
Oh, man. Since we're on the subject, Niners, Packers, huh?
That was a very exciting game. Ooh. I think that was my best game of the playoffs so far. I don't know about you.
That was the defense. Oh, the defense, man, on both teams. So good.
Yeah, it was a real exciting, really defensive oriented matchup. What was the final score? Like 13-10?
Yep. 13-10.
As all defense, all special teams. Neither quarterback had a passing touchdown in that game. In fact, this weekend so far, or rather, I'm going to say Saturday, because Sunday, I'm probably wrong. But for Saturday, the only starting quarterback, only quarterback who threw for a passing touchdown out of all of the playoff teams playing. Do you know who it is, Jake? Do you think it was Joe Burrow? Do you think it was Jimmy GQ? Do you think it was Aaron Rodgers? Who do you think it was?
It was probably Ryan Tannehill.
It was Ryan Tannehill. Of all the people, of all the quarterbacks playing, it was Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill and his one touchdown, three interception performance. What a guy. What a hero.
Leading the playoffs in passing touchdowns. Very exciting game. Super dramatic. We're in Lambeau Field. The snow's coming down hard. It's pretty windy. I think it was like 9 mph winds, which isn't like super crazy. But with that snow, with that cold, that's definitely a factor in your passing plays and your field goal attempts. I'm not going to lie. Honestly, early on, it looked like this was the Packers game to take. They came out very strong defense that first quarter. And it just seemed like, you know, their offense was getting a lot more done between Davante Adams and Aaron Jones. But Niners seemed to be having trouble stopping them.
Yeah, that first quarter was like that. The Packers opening drive, pretty much. It was just, it looked like they were going to be unstoppable. And then they made some adjustments and shut the Packers down for two straight quarters.
It was pretty insane. And, I think the difference in this game that everyone's going to talk about is definitely in special teams. We saw the Packers special teams really just epitomize their entire season here. Blocked field goal for the Niners on special teams. Blocked punt for the Niners on special teams. Returned for a touchdown. I'm pretty sure Crosby also missed a field goal attempt earlier in the game. And that's like a 9-10 point swing right there in a game that they only lost by three. So I don't know who the Packers special teams coach is, but I don't think he's going to have a job next season.
Or maybe he'll go coach the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll see.
I mean, it can't be worse than Meyer.
Yeah, their special teams was atrocious. And the Niners special teams has been so good pretty much most of the year. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure if I recall. Between their defense and special teams, they had a
rock solid core between Robbie Gould and the holders and the punters, at least.
Yeah, that's Gold. I mean, Gold with the golden leg. Am I right or what?
Absolutely beautiful poetry to me as a Bears fan. We employed the golden leg for quite a long time. to see him get a game-winning field goal in the playoffs to end the Aaron Rodgers era of the Packers. Oh, it was so sweet. It was so beautiful.
they put him down. Took him out to the middle of the field and put him down.
We were just playing the long game when we decided to not sign Gold again. We just wanted him to go somewhere to end the Packers for us permanently.
That's right.
It was worth the double doink.
It was worth it. You want to become an even more bigger fan of the 49ers, Joe? I just pulled up an article here.
Yes.
So after the upset victory, Robbie Gould was talking to Jimmy Garoppolo. He's all, man, that feels good. And Garoppolo said, you're a fucking legend, man. Fuck the Packers is what he said to him.
Yeah.
After the game. Oh, man.
All right. Niners are my bandwagon team.
We're on the bandwagon. That's right. Between them and
the Bengals.
Joe Cool.
The rest of the world's definitely on the Bengals bandwagon. We'll get to them in a minute. But I'm a Niners fan just for Robbie Gould, baby.
That's right. He's going to kick them to victory. Watch.
Hell yeah. Or
between him and Debo, it's all you need.
I actually want to talk about Debo Samuel. He is a special player, I think. He is just an amazing offensive player. They're running him not just at wide receiver, but they're using him in the slot, at running back. This man's getting a lot of running back snaps, and not just like garbage time ones where he's like trying to buy time. They basically won the game on a third and 11 run that Debo converted into a first down to get Gold into field goal range. And it's very clear that Shanahan trusts him in the big moments. There was a video from earlier in the season I watched where Debo called his own number. He said, let's take it to the box. Let's take it to the box. I'm going to score to Kyle Shanahan. They call a run play. And sure enough, Debo gets three really great blocks and cuts it for like 15 yards to get a touchdown. And he's celebrating. He looks at Kyle Shanahan. He goes, I told you. I told you. I told you. And then Kyle Shanahan goes, thank you for telling me. Thank you for telling me. So I just think it's awesome to see the player-coach relationship there. Clearly a guy who's a lot of fun to be around. I'm sure he lightens up the locker room a bit. But it's kind of interesting with yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say he's the heart and soul of that offense. He is my favorite player of this season by far. And I'm not just saying that because he was on my fantasy team. Mm-hmm. He's just
But that might be a part.
Amazing. Not a factor. But I mean, he's just fun to watch. He's so strong. He can just carry like four people like it's nothing.
Yeah, he's super exciting to watch. I look forward to seeing him develop with great interest. Very exciting player. But it's kind of interesting with the Niners because their offense kind of doesn't work with Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, Jimmy G doesn't do a whole lot. I don't have the stats in front of me, but certainly last game, Jimmy G was not the reason that they had won. Let's see, he was 11 for 19 for about 130 mm-hmm. yards and zero touchdowns, one interception. So it's kind of interesting because really it's kind of just Debo Samuel, George Kittle, and Eli Mitchell just getting the work done.
Pretty much. Like, there was – I don't know if you watched the game at all.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of very, very questionable throws that he – honestly, Jimmy G should have had probably like four interceptions this game. Mm-hmm. There was one where he threw the safety was like not paying attention. If he was paying attention, he would have picked it off and ran it back for a pick six, easy. But he wasn't looking at the ball. He was under pressure a lot. So he just was like, instead of taking the sack, he kept trying to make something out of nothing. And there was a lot of plays that he should have been intercepted. So if they end up facing the Rams, he's not going to be able to do that, especially with Jalen Ramsey, and like he's going to be under pressure all night
mm-hmm.
or all afternoon, whatever time they play, whatever their time slot's going to be. But he's going to have to be perfect. We know the defense will show up in special teams, but he's going to have to play a lot better against the Rams, which usually they have their number. At least this season, they seem to have their numbers. So we'll see. It'd be a good matchup.
Yeah, so I actually want to talk about that. Probably going to super jinx this right now, but as we're recording this, the Rams are playing against the Buccaneers. Let me get a live update so I'm not a total fool. Let's see live what the update. Score is. Live update.
20-3.
26 points to 3 points in favor of the Rams. 7 minutes left in the third quarter. So it looks like, you know, unless they go for a 2-point conversion and make it 28-3 and Brady pulls his magic again, that probably the Rams will be moving on. And that matchup will be Niners versus Rams. So what do you think about that matchup?
It's, ooh. I mean, the Niners swept the Rams this season, and they were down big against the Rams in Week 18, and they ended up coming back and winning in overtime. So, what was the score of that game? It was like 17-3 at halftime. It looks like. So they were down 14, you know, two scores against a solid Rams squad, and they ended up winning. So. Oh, man, it's going to be a really good matchup. And that was in L.A., so we already know the 49er faithful are going to show up. So,
yeah, I honestly, in that matchup, I would give the edge to the Niners. It just seems like they have the mental edge over the Rams and have for quite a while. I think they've won 5-6 straight against the Rams under McVay. Shanahan just seems to have his number for whatever reason. And granted, you know, they're not always dominant performances. Like there was the Week 18 game you had mentioned where they were down big and kind of came back in overtime. But I think it just shows that, you know, they have the mental toughness against them. And that is definitely a factor that I think fans underrate. The Rams just, I feel like the Niners are in their heads. And I feel like that matchup, the Rams, they get a Matt Stafford pick early on in the game, I think that could be demoralizing to them. I just think the Niners have the edge in this one.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting. Because that's, I mean, the NFC West is arguably the best division in football, especially when the Seahawks are healthy. Wait, am I in the right division? Yeah, I'm in the right spot. I'm like, we're in the right division. where am I? But yeah, it's both the NFC and AFC West, I feel like, are probably like the best division. Yeah,
bloodbaths.
Very, very tough. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Cause
I mean, 20... I could see it going the other way too, just because the Rams defense is very strong. We have a lot of playmakers in Ramsey and Donald, and Jimmy GQ is not the greatest decision maker.
No.
So I could see it snowballing real quick. So I think they'll probably end up leaning a lot on their running game, which they tend to do anyway, but it's really just takes one Jimmy G pick to totally change momentum. But on the other hand, Matt Stafford, much as I love the guy, he's a great gunslinger. He also is kind of notorious for throwing really bad picks at inopportune times. It's kind of comes with the territory. So it's really a game I can't predict.
Yeah, it's going to be very tough. We'll see what happens. Because if it stands as is, it's going to be Rams-Niners. So it's going to come down to turnovers for sure.
Absolutely.
If Jimmy G doesn't turn the ball over, I think the Niners win. But if he does, I feel like it's going to be edge to the Rams.
I'm going to give it to the Niners. That's going to be my final say. But I would not be surprised if the Rams pull it out as well.
Yeah, my official pick is going to be the Niners as well. Going to the Super Bowl. Yeah, yeah.
So,
who's next?
Well, I'd also like to talk a little bit about first seed upsets. So, obviously the Packers, you know, they had the best record in football. They got upset. Can't choke in the NFC Championship game if you don't get there, right? Big brain IQ. Right. But, the Titans as well. They lost to the Bengals, the 4-seeded Bengals, Joe Cool and Jamar Chase. they give their regards. But this is a little bit surprising to me, to be honest. As much as I am a fan of his young Bengals squad, the Titans have been really good this season, even without their best player in Derrick Henry. One of the best records in football. Their defense turned it around. Their offense was productive. And they were getting Derrick Henry back. They're getting A.J. Brown back, Julio Jones. This is the first time in weeks that they had all 22 starters available and ready to go. And they kind of shit the bed.
Just a little bit. Should have kept getting COVID, and people should have stayed hurt, I guess. They were doing better when everybody was hurt.
Yeah. I've seen some folks out there suggest maybe they shouldn't have brought back Derrick Henry. They should have rolled with Foreman, let him take all the carries. Because honestly, Henry did not look himself out there. And after the game, we found out Henry's playing with 5 screws in his foot, a metal pin, and also had like a metal plate in his running boot. So shout out to the king playing hurt. I love my man, but I don't think he was 100%. I think this game would have gone completely differently if they had, you know, the Henry of weeks 1 to 6 in there. But I think that was really the difference. When Derrick Henry's on, this is a contender. And when he's not, it's just not going to go well.
Yeah, that's in true AFC South fashion, the Titans really choked big time. Taking out of the playbook of the Colts, I guess, huh?
But Ryan Tannehill with the single passing touchdown of the day. Got to hand it to him.
Got to give him credit where credit's due, you know? Yeah, I don't know what happened. Titans, I was like, oh, maybe they'll do good. Wrong. They suck. I think I'm going to just disown the AFC South. I'm done. Done.
I think it's kind of interesting to watch the Bengals, though. They were just the better team all around. They made explosive plays. Ja'Marr Chase, I think first rookie to have back-to-back 100-yard gains in the playoffs to start his career. Pretty amazing. T. Higgins had 96 yards. He was just short of breaking the 100-yard mark. They just played phenomenally. And it's kind of a contrast to the game that the Cowboys had where they were eliminated with the bad time management. Dak Prescott taking a designed run play, it looked like, and the team not getting set in time to get a final look at the end zone. Because the Bengals got the ball back with like a minute or two to go, and Burrow just orchestrated that offense like he was a famous conductor. It was beautiful. And huge plays to Ja'Marr Chase to get the chains moving, get them into place, spiking the ball at the right time, running out of bounds. Like, the team just did not make any mental errors. And I'm honestly very impressed with how poised this team is for how young most of its main contributors are. They play like veterans.
Yeah, it's wild to see. I think the Bengals might have the best wide receiving core left in the playoffs, besides maybe the Chiefs.
I mean, I think you're right there. Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd in the slot, and C.J. Uzama lining up at tight end. That's, you can't really beat that. Like, I mean, that's pretty fantastic. Who else do we have left? We got the Niners, Debo, but not a whole lot outside of that. We do have George Kittle, but he's not technically a receiver. Even if the Buccaneers make it, you know, they're totally depleted. No Antonio Brown, no Godwin. The Rams, honestly, if they had Robert Woods, I would put the Rams up there. Because yeah, they got OBJ, they got Cooper Kupp, the Beast, and Robert Woods, if he were healthy. But they do have Van Jefferson Jr., pretty solid. And the Bills as well, actually. I would have to say they're pretty good. Obviously, they have Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, and Emmanuel Sanders, who's like 75 years old, but he's still going out there and doing it. But Chiefs are kind of thin, actually. Like, they're very have Tyreek Hill, obviously, and oh my God, Travis Kelce. I couldn't remember my man.
I was like, I was about to say it. I'm like,
I was like, who is this man? But they've been really struggling, honestly, for years now to find somebody to compliment Hill in that receiving room to really unlock the offense. So I'd have to go with you. I think the Bengals definitely have the strongest receiving core right now.
Yeah.
And they're also young, too. That's what's crazy about this.
Yeah, keep them all under contract. You'll have a solid squad for a while. Because there's, yeah, it's a young core, and they already made it to an AFC championship. Like, I mean, that's pretty wild.
I like this Bengals team a lot. I think they play with a lot of fire. Before the game against the Titans, Joe Burrow was in the locker room. He gave a speech that hyped up the team, and the crux of that speech was, why not us? Why can't we win? Why not us? And whole team rallied behind him. I just fucking love the energy that this team exudes. It's total big dick domination energy, taking on the whole world without a care in the world. And it's fantastic. A very fun team to watch.
But the question is, will their BDE be able to take out the Bills or the Chiefs? Is it big enough? Can they do it?
So that's the thing is, I don't favor them in a matchup against either of those teams.
They have to travel, too. They have to go to either place.
So. Right. But the thing is, I feel like the Chiefs and Bills are just more complete, especially at this point in the season. Mid-season form, both the Chiefs and the Bills were kind of struggling a bit. They did not look like the teams of last season. But the Chiefs seem to have figured everything out now. Finished as the number two seed. And now the Bills just had a dominant performance over the Pats, who had their number. Josh Allen looked half man, half amazing out there. I think the key difference is just the defense and the offensive lines of the Chiefs and the Bills. The Bengals defense is actually pretty solid, but their offensive line is not getting it done. Even in their win against the Titans, I think Joe Burrow was sacked 8 or 9 times and threw for no passing touchdowns. Normally, you assume that the team would have gotten slaughtered with a scoreline like that. But I think that's going to be their undoing. I just can't see that offensive line holding up against the Chiefs or especially the Bills. I just think Burrow's going to get hit too many times.
I think if they have any chance, that offensive line would have a chance. Chance against the Chiefs defense, because it's been very, I mean, good down the stretch. Now they figured something out, but to start the season, they were atrocious. Yes. I don't know what they figured out, because it was like, excuse me, I don't know what happened at the start of the season, but that defense was god awful. They were just bad.
Yeah, it was making Patrick Mahomes look like a G-leaguer, more or less.
Yeah, wild.
But yeah, so Bengals, everyone's on the bandwagon. I think they could win the game. I'm not going to rule them out. They definitely have some explosive performances in them. And really, that's what the playoffs are all about. But listen, if Joe Burrow gets sacked more than 4 times, like, no, it's not going to happen.
You don't think he can take 9 hits and win?
I mean, he's proven me wrong before. But there's a difference between Ryan Tannehill and Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, big talent gap there. Yeah. Huge.
In the sense that Ryan Tannehill had the only touchdown for a quarterback on Saturday.
That's right.
Can you match that, Patrick Mahomes? I don't think you can.
Yeah, take your 5 to touchdown performance the week before and shove it.
I'm really hoping somehow, Jake, that this season ends with no passing touchdowns. I really want Ryan Tannehill to be the sole possessor of a passing touchdown in this season.
That would be wild, but I think Matt Stafford's already got like 3. So.
Well, it's too late for that.
Too late now. Always got 2.
Another night, another dream wasted.
Yeah, A little live check-in for the Rams-Buccaneers game. 27-6. Bucks got another field goal. So here we go.
How much time is left in this game, sir?
3 minutes left in the third quarter.
That's a lot of time for Tom Brady.
It's enough time. That fourth quarter, he could put up 30 points. You never know.
But to go over a little bit, let's talk about the teams that have fallen out of the playoffs so far. And what do you think they need to do to right the ship? Number one, I wanted to talk to you about the Titans. What do you think about the Titans? Is this team good enough to still contend? Do they need to make any changes?
I think they need to make a quarterback change if they're going to. I don't know. Ryan Tannehill's okay,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think he's good enough to take them past Patrick Mahomes, past Josh Allen, you know, past the next level of people. He's I don't know. The AFC South quarterbacks just suck. So what can you do?
I think it's kind of it's sort of rough because I agree with you. Like, they could obviously benefit from a better QB, but there's not that many QBs that are better than like a Tannehill. I mean, Tannehill's kind of like a Kirk Cousins level player where, you know, he's solid. He can do what you ask him to do, but he's probably not going to win you games on his own. But I mean, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, like those guys don't grow on trees. There's really nobody available. I think the problem is this team might have just lost their best chance at winning the Super Bowl. I can't see them next year doing better than they did this year with the number one seed, Derrick Henry playing like an MVP caliber player for most of the season. I think health is not on their side, as we clearly saw this season. And
yeah,
got a banged up Julio Jones. Derrick Henry, much as I love him, it is a fact that running backs fall off a lot quicker. That's a very physical position, and he's a very physical player. As soon as he loses that first step, he's not going to be as effective. I hate saying this because I'm a huge Derrick Henry fan, but I think this might have been the start of a downfall for him with that broken foot. I think this could lead to a lot of other injuries. Hopefully it doesn't. He's a phenomenal talent. I love watching him play. But the Titans are pretty much built around Derrick Henry and the RPO, and I don't think it's going to work next season. I think the rest of the division just gotten too much better. The Chiefs, the Bills are all improving. The Patriots are looking better. The Bengals, who just ousted them, are looking phenomenal. And I can't see the Titans having a realistic path to improvement, really.
Yeah, their window, I feel like, is if they don't, they might have one more year where they might be able to do it, but I think the window's pretty much closed.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen.
They'll certainly be a playoff team, but I just can't see them really going deep.
Yeah, it's not. Probably not going to happen. Another team that got that got ousted, so the Oakland Raiders back in the wild card round. We've been away a while.
We have been away a while. We haven't been taking our daily intake of Raiderade.
Well, the ball ran dry.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they'll be back next year? Or do you think they're going to just...
Back in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're still good enough to make the playoffs out there and maybe make some noise. A little bit later, I actually have some ideas I wanted to float around for them. But I think the Raiders can only go up from here. They had a historic season as far as drama goes between the John Gruden email fiasco and that firing, Henry Ruggs killing a man in the middle of the season and that suspension. And just all sorts of other crazy stuff. Losing Darren Waller for some time as well. And of course, like every other team dealing with COVID. But I think this is a team that can still improve. We saw the emergence of Hunter Renfrow as a reliable option in the passing game this season. And Darren Waller just does Darren Waller things. Derek Carr, I don't think is the guy though. I don't see them winning too much with Derek Carr. He's fine. He's okay, but I don't think the team's strong enough to win in spite of Carr.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to have to make some changes.
Yes.
On the offensive side. Their defense is not bad. But the offense...
I think what the offense needs really is...
a better O-line?
Maybe a better O-line, but I think it's one of two things. Upgrade from Derek Carr if possible, which, as we said in the previous segment, honestly kind of difficult. I think he's in that tier of Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill, where they're pretty solid players. They're not going to win you a game on their own, but if the rest of the team around them is good, they can kind of unlock it.
Yeah.
Failing that, they need an elite receiving option. They were looking a lot better earlier in the season when they had Henry Ruggs, the speedster, to kind of get those downfield deep shots and open things up for Waller to use him more in the offensive game. And then after Henry Ruggs went down, Waller was getting just bracketed every play, had tons of coverage on him, and he's really the only main threat. So Hunter Renfro became the go-to running out of a slot, getting a lot of short intermediate passes. I think that's what they need, is they need an elite wide receiver to really open up the game, particularly for Waller and for Renfro. And there are some options this offseason. Chris Godwin coming off an injury, unfortunately, but he will be a free agent. Allen Robinson will be a free agent, and Davante Adams as well. So I think if they can get one of those guys, the Raiders can improve a lot next season. And in that case, I will be partaking in the Raiderade once more.
That's right. Refill that punch bowl. Mm-hmm. The Raiderade's going to be nice and full with multiple flavors. Who else?
What about the Patriots?
Oh.
What do you think about them?
They made the playoffs, which is wild to me. That's crazy.
That's a thing to think about with the Patriots is we didn't have a very strong showing in the playoffs, but nobody expected them to be here, Jake.
No. yeah, it's kind of crazy to think just the rookie quarterback, Mac Jones, and obviously Bill Belichick can coach like nobody else. But Patriots are going to be probably in the top, like, four seeds next year. I don't know. I don't think they might even win the division next year over the Bills.
I could absolutely see that when you consider the fact that the Patriots kind of started the season slow and still managed to finish quite high. And I expect to see some improvement next year.
Yeah.
What do you think the Patriots need though to kind of improve next season?
I don't know. Maybe some like a solid, like Mac Jones is going to need like a solid talent around him, like a big name, you know, like a, you know, how Stafford's got Cup and stuff and people like that. I think they're
right. Like a really solid target.
Yeah. He'll need a solid target, a solid talent target. So like maybe Davante Adams goes to New England. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That would be wild.
I agree with you. I think that's really what that team's missing. Defense is always going to be strong under Belichick. I mean, he's a defensive-minded coach, and they were dominant at points in this season. Mac Jones seems like he's kind of the guy for this offense. I think he can get a lot of work done. Only his first season, very promising. I'm sure he's only going to get better from here. Two things for them. Number one, I do think they need an explosive weapon. The running game is really good. I like Ramondre Stevenson a lot. He's a rookie running back. Looked phenomenal, very explosive, great runner, good vision. And they kind of have a 1A, 1B thing going on there with Ramondre being the 1B. Second year, Damian Harris is also a fantastic running back. So, I mean, the running game's there. They've got the quarterback. They got the defense. And special teams are always going to be good under them. I think they need that explosive playmaker downfield. They relied a lot this season on their two tight end sets with Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. I think Hunter Henry had pretty much all their receiving touchdowns this season, but like we talked about on our last episode where we guest featured friend of a show and host of Full Court Blitz, Anthony. When you look who Mac Jones is passing to, it's kind of a who sort of scenario. Yes. Their best receiver was Jacoby Myers, who was held out of scoring for like a historic amount of time. I don't remember the stat, but I'm pretty sure he had amassed the most yards, most catches in NFL history without scoring up until like the last few weeks of the season. So as solid as he is, he's clearly not like an elite talent, elite playmaker type guy. He's a solid guy, but I think you need somebody better than him in order to really unlock this offense.
Yeah, I agree. So that I think that's their missing piece, because that everything else is solid. So I think this offseason they'll push very heavy for.
Can you see them going after a big name in free agency? Because as far as I'm aware, Bill Belichick in the front office, they don't really go too hard after big contracts in free agency signings. So, I mean, some of the top guys, like obviously Davante Adams, he's kind of looking to command a very large contract. The Packers sniffed him. Do you think they throw a big contract at Davante Adams, or do you think they pass on it?
I don't know what their salary cap looks like, but I don't know. I feel like they might go for somebody who's like, you know, the talent's there, like more of a Calvin Ridley, you know, like, you know, he's not like a big, big, big name. So you can get him maybe a little bit cheaper. You know what I mean? Because he's going to play the free agent market, I think, this offseason as well. I think he's a free agent. So maybe
if they get somebody to play football.
Yeah, if he continues to play. I think he said he wanted to play last time I checked. So, well,
I'm kind of the same mind as you, though. I don't really see them going for a big marquee guy. I think they go for a guy who's a little bit lower on the pay scale. I could see them going after Allen Robinson, kind of a reclamation project. He had a pretty bad year with the Bears this season. But as a Bears fan, I got to say, I don't really feel like it was his fault. Justin Fields just had much better chemistry with Darnell Mooney. And I think the offense was more suited to those sort of plays. Darnell's a lot more of a deep guy.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that could be really good for the Pats to get Allen Robinson. He probably takes a little bit of a discount. Did not have a great year. I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of teams that would have interest in him, but I don't think he's going to command the market the way a Davante Adams would.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think it'll be, they'll buy low kind of a thing and maybe draft like a solid rookie out of this draft class or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think A-Rob's their guy on the path.
Yeah, or maybe they even take what's his name from the Falcons? If they want to part ways with him, if they can.
Ridley? Oh,
no, the other guy, Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh, I don't know. I can't see that happening. I think Cordarrelle is so old. I mean, he was on the Bears for a long time, so I know, but he's like 30 something. This was basically his first good year in the NFL, and it was fantastic to watch. It was really cool. But he's kind of like more of a weird all around gimmick player, and I think he doesn't really fit their timeline. I think if they had other pieces in place, they would add him certainly, and Bill could probably scheme him up real well. But I don't see them wanting to add them with a relatively young team that's still kind of on the upshoot.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. I also don't think he would really fit the offensive scheme. Like, I don't think that's not their, you know, wide receiver sweeps and stuff are not really their forte, really. So, yeah. So get a wide receiver, Patriots, or don't. I'm tired of seeing your success.
But Jake, there's a whole nother generation of babies being born this year that haven't seen the Patriots win a Super Bowl. Don't you think that's a tragedy?
A real travesty. That's devastating to the world.
Mm-hmm. God Emperor Bill Belichick himself is here to right the wrongs of history.
How long do you think Belichick keeps coaching? He's turning, what is he, 70 or almost 70?
Let me see. I have to Google something real quick. How long do you think, sir?
I think he goes till he's like 80, until he's like on his deathbed. He's going to keep coaching, keep working.
All right. So what I was Googling, I was looking up Greg Popovich of the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA. Yeah. One of the greatest coaches of all time. He's a pretty old guy. He's like 72. And Pop is talking about retiring pretty soon, probably in the next 3 or 4 years. I was going to compare him to that, but honestly, I kind of thought Pop was older. I could see Bill going a lot longer, like you say. I could see him going to like 80-plus. Pop obviously has a lot of other interests in life outside of basketball. I feel like Bill, like, he is a football mind. Like, that is all he lives and breathes. So I could see him going a long time. I could see him going like 80 years.
Yeah.
80 more years.
Yeah, with modern medicine, anything's possible.
Anything could happen.
They'll take his brain.
He'll be taking snaps under center soon.
Right. They'll do the Futurama treatment, take his head and brain, and just attach it to a robot.
Exactly.
And he'll be calling plays on the sideline, be like, ain't nobody taking this team away from me.
I think the Patriots are a team to watch. I think the Patriots and the Bengals are going to be the most improved teams next season, at least in that division.
I agree. Another big headline that came out of super wild card weekend was the end of the Ben Roethlisberger era in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, everyone knew it was Ben's last game last season. He got to go out on his terms, got destroyed by the Chiefs, but he kind of knew they were very close before the game where he was in the locker room saying, like, guys, I know we're not going to win. Let's just go out there and have fun. Let's have a good time. I'm happy that he went to go out on those terms. Got two passing touchdowns. That means he's half as good as, or he's doubly as good as Ryan Tannehill. So I'm glad he got to have fun. This team next season, they need a quarterback. Quarterback is what they need more than anything else. Their O-line is pretty bad, but I actually think they're a very promising team. And in a later segment, I want to kind of talk about why, but suffice to say, they have really explosive playmakers. They're pretty much the opposite of the Patriots in that sense. They've got Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Pat Freiermuth, and the electric running back, Najee Harris. And those guys are doing a lot of work without really much of an O-line or a quarterback who can throw more than 5 yards.
Yeah. Steelers are going to need I wonder, do you think they'll draft a quarterback or trade up for one?
I have my theories on this, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, but I think they're gonna trade.
Ooh. Spicy. But yeah. That was a rest in peace, Ben Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. You know.
Rest in peace. Keep that man out of bathrooms.
Oh. Yeah.
But I think we got three more teams to talk about so far. Let's see. What's the Bucks score right now, Jake?
Tom Brady's driving down.
Okay, we got a whole fourth quarter. I'm not talking about the Bucks yet. Okay. So let's go with the boys, with America's team. Kind of a big upset there. Niners defeated them. 6 seed, taking down the 3 seed. What do you think about the boys, sir?
I think the Cowboys are really good, but they need to move on from two things. Mm-hmm. One, Mike McCarthy needs to leave.
I was going to say Mike McCarthy.
Because he's just garbage. He's cost Rodgers who knows how many, at least one ring for sure, if not two, by his incompetent coaching.
I would buy him a beer anytime.
And yeah, so he's your favorite coach in that sense. But I mean, and two, they need to move on from Ezekiel Elliott, I feel. I think Pollard is a better running back than Elliott. Mm-hmm. And, like,
what about Amari Cooper with his, like, $100 million contract?
I think he's fine. It's just they don't, for whatever reason, they don't throw, like, they did this game. He got 6 receptions, but, like, they just don't throw it enough. It's like almost like they're like, oh well, Zeke's got a big contract, we got to give him the ball, you know. Mm-hmm. Or you know what I mean, they just don't I don't know.
What's kind of bizarro this season, because, I mean, the Cowboys are kind of known as, like, you know, aptly a gunslinging team for the most part. You know, Dak usually is airing it out a lot in previous seasons, tons of receptions for everybody. This year was kind of like Star Trek, like mirror dimension, where they were winning with their defense for the most part. But their defense was insane. Trayvon Diggs was having like a historic year as far as interceptions go. And their schemes seem to be really good and well-suited to what they want to do. And I think it kind of led to weirdly conservative play calling, where Dak was not really airing it out anymore. And you were seeing, you know, Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, a lot of really talented guys, like, really not being utilized, and just kind of bizarre.
Yeah, a little bit. But what, I don't know. I always think of the question too, like, are the Cowboys actually good? Because their division is probably one of the worst in football besides like the AFC South. Because I think 6 or 7 of their wins came from their division. And like, that's not saying much. Let's see what they got. Yeah, I think it's like 6 or 7 of their wins.
They have the almighty Eagles in their division.
This is true, but they beat the Eagles both times. So that's what can you do there?
I mean, you're right, though. Like, they did have a pretty cakewalk division to them, I'm pretty sure, even in our preseason rankings. Besides the Eagles to win the division, we did have the Cowboys kind of running away with it.
Yeah. It's like any team that was, like, marginally more talented, they lost to. Like, lost to the Cardinals, lost to the Chiefs. I mean, they even lost to the Broncos. Like, I don't know. I feel like next year is going to be the true test to see if they can prove their worth.
I think for them, I'm kind of with you. I think it's a Mike McCarthy thing. I think that's really limiting them, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Cause I mean, we've seen this crew before. They can put up numbers, and now they have a defense. They have the personnel, I feel. And I think Dak is an amazing quarterback. I think the problem is in the play calling. I actually like Zeke and Pollard together. I know you said maybe move on from Zeke. He does have a very large contract, but I honestly feel like they don't really need to make a lot of personnel changes. I like their team as it's currently constructed. I think Zeke and Pollard complement each other well. It's kind of like a thunder lightning thing going on. Zeke's a lot more physical. I think he's the goal line guy, but Pollard's very shifty. Get the ball to him in space, kind of a little bit better in the passing game. Like, I really like this team, but they're just so limited right now by the play calling. They're way too conservative, playing way too scared in games. We just don't have that edge.
It's just get a new coach, but they're not going to. I think they already said that Mike McCarthy is going to be back. And I think what it is too, I was listening to Matty Ice's podcast. I can't remember which one. It was either
Matty Ice.
Yeah. Friend of the show. Shout out Political Football and Drippin' Sports. I can't remember which one it was. Maybe it was both. But he was saying that Jerry Jones likes a yes man, which is why Jason Garrett coached the Cowboys for 10 years, because he just like bent to every will that Jerry Jones. He was like, oh, we're going to do this. He's like, okay, you can do that. No problem. You know, so, and Mike McCarthy's the exact same way. He just sits down and just is like, okay, yeah, sure. Yeah. As long as I keep my job, you know, so I think they aren't going to move on from McCarthy for a long time, which is really sad, because it's just going to squander
Dak Prescott. We're going to see a lot of careers wasted here between Zeke, Amari Cooper, and Dak. And maybe even Trayvon Diggs at this rate.
Yeah, so I'm kind of hoping next season the Cowboys just don't do well at all. Like, they go like 3-15, or, you know, 3-4. You know, they just do atrocious. So maybe they'll actually fire him.
Kind of force their hand on him.
Yeah, but I think that the talent's just – he's like just good enough of a coach to like win games.
Yeah.
Which is really, so he's just going to keep his job for 10 years and we're going to watch all this talent go to waste.
I think it's pretty frustrating as a fan of the game. I mean, obviously, Cowboys have kind of a little bit of a negative reputation, but I mean, I like them. I think they have a really strong team. It's sad to see so much talent wasted.
Yeah, it's really sad. We'll see. Maybe, you know, couple of years down the line or something, somebody will do like a holdout, like, I ain't gone. No, I'm not going to play. Forget it. I want to be traded kind of a thing.
I mean, looking at it right now, I think out of everybody in the playoffs in the NFC, they probably had the most talented roster top to bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But for whatever reason in this game, they did not want to throw the ball deep downfield. They just kept wanting to run it and do short passes, and it just didn't. I don't understand why. They have the talent. I think in that game, CeeDee Lamb only had 2 catches. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's like one of your top receiving talents. 1 reception, even less. Like, what? I mean, throw it deep. Give him a chance. He's a playmaker. We've seen what he can do. So
definitely a disappointing season for them.
Big time. Big time doo-doo. The doo-doo boys, or the cowgirls, as most people like to call them. Clever name, you everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeehaw, cowboy.
Rooting, shooting, cowboy shooting.
That's right.
Eagles.
Oh, man. Fly, Eagles, fly. Next year's their year. I'm feeling it.
Eagles to win the league.
Eagles to win it all, baby. The early pick. Put your money down now.
Vegas hates this one trick.
Don't take our advice as gambling advice. We're not.
Gambling's not legal in California.
Right. So, yeah, Eagles to win it all next year. Just watch. You heard it here first, folks.
I honestly don't have a whole lot to say about the Eagles from like an X's and O's perspective. Honestly, I was kind of surprised they made the playoffs as much as they were destined to win the division.
Right.
I still think there's some pretty serious questions about Jalen Hurts at quarterback.
They already committed to him as being the starter next year. So we got another year for sure. I think if he puts an offseason in of working on his passing game, he's going to be very, very lethal. Like, he'll be really good.
Right.
But will it happen? That remains to be seen.
I'm really not even sure. I'm just trying to look at the roster.
Because, right, I mean, they had the top rushing offense in the league. Did you know that?
I did know that, but I almost feel like that's just almost like the play calling and not necessarily reflective of the talent. Yeah. I mean, they have Boston Scott and who was the guy that was injured like all year? Miles Sanders.
Miles Sanders,
I thought it was supposed to be Miles Sanders season this year. It was not Miles Sanders season this year.
Yeah, that was a big sad there. But, yeah, I don't know.
I kind of feel like they need help everywhere.
Pretty much. I don't know. Their defense showed up towards down the stretch, though. Like, they did.
They did well, but they had really good matchups is the thing.
That's true. Who did the Eagles play this year? A bunch of mid teams, I'm
sure. It was a lot of – they had, like, Washington football team twice near the end of the year.
And the Giants twice.
Yeah, so I don't know about this team. I really don't know about this team. Dallas Goedert, fantastic tight end, but I kind of feel like right now they just have Dallas Goedert and Jalen Hurts, and that's it.
Yeah, the Eagles beat all shitty teams. Mm-hmm. Any team that was, like, remotely decent, they lost to. So, this year, they played the Falcons. They beat the Falcons. Then they lost to the 49ers, lost to the Cowboys, lost to the Chiefs, beat the Panthers, lost to the Buccaneers, lost to the Raiders, beat the Lions, lost to the Chargers, beat the Broncos, beat the Saints, lost to the Giants one time. beat the Jets, and then they beat the Washington football team twice.
I don't think they had one impressive win this season.
No. Argue maybe the Saints, but like the Saints sucked this year. So like they didn't really have a solid quarterback. So yeah, they didn't win against any like good team at all.
Yeah. I think they need a lot of renovations there. They're definitely still building something there. Devontae Smith, want to give him a shout out. A rookie wide receiver. He was pretty good this season. I think he's got a future in the league.
I agree. He's Heisman Trophy winner. So we'll see how he develops as time goes on. But hard to pay attention.
I got nothing to say about the Eagles.
except the Eagles to win the division next year. You heard it here.
With the Cards, with the Cardinals.
I don't want to talk about them, man.
Why is that, sir?
Kyler Murray just letting me down time and time again.
I have a feeling you're not talking about real football here, Jake. What are you talking about?
I mean, he let me down in fantasy, for one, but then he also let me down in the playoffs. Look at him. 19 of 34, 137 yards, 2 interceptions.
Not great. Not great numbers.
Bad. Bad numbers, Joe. Bad numbers.
Did they have DeAndre Hopkins for that playoff game?
They did not. Hopkins was out until at least, they said, till the championship game. So even with Hopkins, I don't think they would have won, to be honest with you.
It's kind of weird with the Cardinals because every year under their coach Kingsbury, they start off like really well. And beginning of the season, like first like three quarters of the season, a lot of people had them pinned as like the favorites for the Super Bowl. And then they finished horribly. They finished really bad. I'm trying to find.
Well, they started 8-0, I think, wasn't it? And then they finished 11-7. So
I'm trying to find what their record was the last few weeks of the season while we're talking here. They were pretty disappointed. They really just like flamed out. Do you have any ideas on what might have happened there?
I just think everybody's playing hurt, kind of a thing. And I don't know. I didn't watch a lot of their games. Could have been the coaching too, because their defense was solid. So I don't know what happened. Yeah, down the stretch, lost to the Seahawks, Colts, Lions, Rams. So there's three losses there that they should have honestly won.
Especially that game against the Rams. I think that really kind of put the nail in the coffin for them.
Yeah, for sure. It's, well, especially the Colts game too on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely put the nail in the coffin. Losing to the Lions and the Colts, like, woo, back to back. Good luck. I think Kyler was back then, too. Yeah, he was.
I mean, I think a big part of it was kind of an injury bug. Like, they were missing Hopkins for huge chunks of the season. And even though they weren't hyper-focused on him as much this season, I think he is kind of the key that unlocks the offense, kind of like Cooper Kupp for the Rams, where maybe he's not the target on every play, but he's the diversion. He's what makes things open up for the rest of his team.
Yeah. So
I'll give him some credit there. I mean, when you're losing one of like the best receivers in the game, it's really hard to replace that. But I have some serious questions about the coaching here. Just because it's a pattern now of like the past 3-4 seasons, starting off really strong and promising and then just flaming out when it matters most. And as we know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish in this league.
That's right. You got to finish hot.
But, I mean, Kyler is a very talented player. He missed a lot of games this year, though, didn't he?
Kyler? Yeah, he missed from, like, week 8 or 9, probably 9, till he didn't come back till week 14 or 15, I think. So he missed a month and a half of games, I think. It was bad. It was a lot. And I think they only won like 2 games in that stretch. Yeah.
No, I think, honestly, I feel like they're more of a coaching change than anything else. Like they've got a lot of talent there, but maybe they're not utilizing it the best way that they could.
I agree, especially since Kirk has developed into a nice little receiver there.
And plus, we've got he didn't get a whole lot of action, but Rondale Moore, the rookie, he looked very explosive looked at really times this season. He's kind of underutilized in a lot of ways. I really think it's kind of like a scheming thing. I think if they get a different coach in there, it could be a big upgrade.
I agree. So we'll see what happens. They probably won't because they had some success this year. So Kingsbury's coming back, baby. The king himself. The king of the berries.
But I think that about covers it for All the Fallen. Rest in peace. Let's talk a little bit about our picks for the Super Bowl. Who do you got, Jake? What's going on right now? Now, as of recording right now, the Bucks are down 27-13 in the fourth quarter. It's kind of looking like a Rams victory. So we're probably looking at Rams Niners, and then the Bengals are in the AFC Championship against either the Chiefs or the Bills. Who do you see moving on in the AFC and the NFC?
If things stand as is here, I think the Niners will beat the Rams. So Niners are my pick for the NFC.
I'm going to agree with you on that.
Ooh, the AFC.
AFC is kind of scary.
Man, it could go either way because, like, I'm on the Bengals hype train, so I don't.
I feel like if Brian were here, Brian would throw his hat into the Bengals. I feel like Brian's riding Bengals. I don't want to speak for him, but I just feel that energy.
Right. If it ends up being Bengals versus Chiefs, I think the Bengals beat the Chiefs. So we have a Bengals.
Really?
I do. Just because the Chiefs defense has been very it has been susceptible. So has Buffalo's, though, down the stretch, was it not? Or were they good down the stretch? Let me see.
They were pretty solid especially compared to the Chiefs. But, I mean, we've had relapses as well.
Yeah, well, the 5-touchdown performance or whatever by Jonathan Taylor. Mm-hmm. And that.
But that might be more a Jonathan Taylor thing than a Buffalo Bills thing.
Yeah, they kind of recovered after that. They bounced back big time. So, man, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be. If it's Bengals versus Chiefs.
All right, well, take me through the division round. Chiefs Bills. Who do you have here?
It's going to come down to turnovers. They're both so good at not turning the ball over in terms of quarterbacks. Like, that, I don't think.
Well, this season, Patrick Mahomes.
I was just about to say Mahomes has thrown many an interception this year.
I think he's had more interceptions this season than he has in like all the previous years of his career combined.
I guess so, huh?
Because you were right. Honestly, historically, he was very good at not turning the ball over, even with his kind of crazy passes that he makes.
Yeah, it's I think he's thrown an interception in just about.
I believe he cleaned it up towards the end of the season, but early on, he looked very mortal.
Yeah. Oh, they played the Bengals on January 2nd. What was the score of that game? Did they win or did the Bengals win? I don't remember them playing. I wasn't paying attention. The Bengals won. That's right, 31-34. Ooh. How did he do in that game? Yeah, it was a game of not turning it over. It was just slinging it out, looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's hard to say.
I live update here from the game. Matt Gay, the kicker for a Ram, just missed a field goal. The Bucks still have life in them.
Oh, no. And they're driving, too, aren't they? Look at them go.
First and 10 at the LA 48.
Only down 2 scores.
But anyway, so between the Chiefs and the Bills, what's your final verdict?
I'm going to say the Bills. The Bills are going to beat the Chiefs. I feel like we're going to get some fresh faces this year.
I agree with you. I think the Bills are going to take this matchup. They're both really fantastic, talented teams, but I just feel like the Bills have been playing on a higher level lately.
Especially after
that last game against the Patriots, Josh Allen looks a lot more like the Josh Allen of last season.
Yeah.
And I think their defense is a little more consistent.
And I think the Bills finally figured out what they want to do with their run game. I think they finally picked their running back.
They did, and it seems to be Singletary.
Yeah, just in time for me to not make fantasy playoffs, but what can you do? You know.
But no, definitely the Bills look like they've kind of figured it out, I think. Whereas the Chiefs, I mean, granted, they've got a great record, and Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Patrick Mahomes, they're going to win you some games, but I just feel like the Bills are a little bit more of a complete team.
Yeah, I agree. The Bills are my pick. I don't know what the score will be.
But now, Jacob, AFC Championship game. Joe Cool and the Bungles versus Josh Allen and the Bulls. I tried to make it something fun, but I could just.
I was like, wait, the Bulls? Wait a minute. I didn't know the Bulls were in there.
I should have scripted that. But anyway.
You auto-corrected yourself.
Mm-hmm.
From Bills to Bulls.
I just know. But anyway, who do you got here? Well, what sort of matchup are you looking at here? And we talked a little bit about this earlier, but I have some serious concerns about that O-line for the Bengals. I just feel like Joe Burrow is going to take a lot of hits.
But it doesn't matter how many hits you take as long as you finish strong.
I mean, yeah, because the Titans showed that.
I think the Bills would end up taking it because they're going to go to Buffalo. Not that it matters. It's a road game, whatever, you know. But the Bills at home
with the Bills solid defense
with, yeah, I think it'd be like a blowout, to be honest.
I don't know if I'd go blowout, but I think the Bills will take it.
Oh no, it's gonna be a blowout.
All right. Now, in a hypothetical, because we're recording this before the Chiefs Bills game even kicks off. If the Chiefs make it to the Bengals, well, actually, I guess you predicted already. You said you think the Bengals will take it.
I do. Just on a whim. I don't know. I just feel like it's just like the Chiefs' inconsistencies throughout the year. Yeah, they've cleaned it up since like middle of the year, but I just feel like that inconsistency is going to be their downfall. That like that's the Chiefs we're going to get is going to be Mahomes throwing like two interceptions, three interceptions.
Right.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to fumble it. Like you know what I mean? That's just what's going to happen. That's what I think.
I think you're right. I just feel like right now the energy around the Bengals is a lot higher. I feel like they look like this is their season. They've got a bit of a tailwind going, and the Chiefs have a bit of a headwind, I feel like. I think the Bengals just have that momentum. They have that energy. The locker room's all together. The Chiefs, I think, are on a little bit more of shaky ground.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird to say, comparing the number two seed to the four seed, but that's just how I feel about it right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's just... it's just what it is, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right. So hypothetical, this game's still going on. If the Bucks come back and they face the 49ers, who's moving on to the
49ers?
Even against Brady, you think they're moving on?
Yeah, I think so. The defense was solid against Aaron Rodgers and what we thought was the unstoppable offense, you know, with Devontae Adams and stuff, but they swallowed them up big time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in cold weather. They traveled to Tampa Bay in nice warm weather that we're used to. Ooh, baby.
Wouldn't you feel like the warm weather would actually be an advantage for the Buccaneers? Because, I mean, the cold weather would probably make it harder for the passing game, right?
You would think. I don't know. I feel like the 49ers defense is too too much on, like, they're on a hot streak right now.
Yeah.
I feel like they could take out both elite quarterbacks without a problem, especially since Tampa Bay's not full strength on offense.
Right.
If they were full strength, different story. But they're mid strength right now. So, like, I don't think that's going to be it's not going to be possible.
I'm actually going to agree with you. I was kind of giving you some pushback just to generate some discussion. But I think even if the Bucks move on, they're just too depleted right now. If this was the Bucks team from like week 5, week 6 or whatever, I think the Bucks take this easily. But yeah, they're just so depleted. No Antonio Brown, no Chris Godwin. It's pretty much just Mike Evans, the corpse of Gronk, and the run game with Leonard Fournette. And Brady's good enough, but I'd never count him out. But I just feel like they don't have enough in the tank.
Yeah.
Granted, on the Niners, though, Jimmy G would be their undoing, I feel like. They tend to rely a lot more on the running game to open things up. But I don't know if I would trust Jimmy G against Brady to not make mistakes, to make the play when he needs to, even if he's not put in that position a whole lot. I feel like he could give up a pick because his Bucs defense is also very strong this season.
Yeah, they're very strong. I think they're a little bit beat up.
I think they lost a starter somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think the defensive front's beat up. I think it's more of the safeties are a little bit more beat up. But yeah, I think the Niners are going to the Super Bowl again.
I think you're right. We already talked about, if you match it with the Rams, I think the Niners are going to win that as well. So what we're looking at is probably what is the Fan Base Radio official opinion, Jake?
The official opinion.
What is our consensus?
For like, who's going to be in the Super Bowl?
Who's going to be in the big game sponsored by Pepsi?
Shout out Pepsi. 49ers versus the Bills, I think, is going to be. And quick update. Tom Brady passed to Mike Evans for 55 yards, touchdown, 3 minutes left. Oh, my God. Look at him go.
Wait, so what's the score right now?
27-19.
Okay.
Extra point coming. Anyway. 49ers, I think, are going, and this Super Bowl's in LA, so the 49er faithful will be showing up 100%. So it's going to be a home game, basically, for the 49ers.
Definitely something to consider there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think the Bills Mafia will show up in droves, because like every game in LA that they've been playing has been a little bit
of a split crowd.
Yeah, split crowd. Kind of wild.
All right. I think that's the Super Bowl outlook right now. We'll have to check in next week and kind of see where we're at with that. I did have one more segment I wanted to talk about here. Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh.
He's gone. He gone.
Boy, he gone. He's trash.
Now, he technically is under contract for the next year, but I don't think he's coming back. I think they're going to be moving on from him. I think that's kind of a general consensus out there right now. I assume you agree. You also think he's out of Green Bay?
I think so. He's either going to call it a career or he's going to go to a team. Like, he even said in his press conference after the game that he thinks he can still play at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. He wants to be part of a team.
Right. He wants to contend. He wants to compete.
Yeah. So, he's just probably going to, I would honestly, the way the Green Bay's treated him, I would just leave. Mm-hmm. I would go somewhere else that has a solid offensive line.
So that's kind of what I want to talk about. What are some landing spots for him? Because honestly, I think he's all huffing and puffing about retiring. He's not going to retire. I don't see that happening at all. No. So what are some destinations that you have in mind for him
Well, after the game yesterday, Twitter was abuzz about where he should go.
Right.
And the Colts fans came out in droves saying, come on over. This wouldn't happen to you in Indy. Come on over. You and Devontae both. Let's go. Somebody said, let's reunite the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And it was a picture of Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, Devontae Adams, and Aaron Rodgers.
I like it.
And I was just like, ooh. I would like to see him with the Colts. That would be very nice. But I feel like he goes to like the Broncos or, mm-hmm. you know, somewhere that he has already been talking about, like that was already a buzz in this last off season. So like the Raiders or the Broncos, only two.
I think, you think he goes to the Bucks?
If Tom Brady retires, cause I just saw an article that he's going to mull his future. That takes some time. he just goes and signs with the Buccaneers and they just take it on there.
All right. If we're going to go along that line of kind of outlandish ideas, Rodgers to the Patriots.
Oh, God. A bold prediction there, especially with Mac Jones.
Can you imagine Belichick and Rodgers together?
Oh, my God. Game update. Live.
Has there ever been a grumpier team?
Cam Akers just fumbled the ball on the LA 30, and it was recovered by Tampa Bay.
Okay. We might have some Brady magic going on here.
Dude, I think Cam Akers has fumbled it like four times this game. Wild. Anyway. Yeah. Pretty crazy stuff.
So, as far as like actual destinations go, I want to make my pitch. I think this is my prediction, which is what I'm going to stake my chips on. I think Rodgers goes to the Steelers this offseason.
Ooh.
And here's my reasoning with this. So, number one, Mike Tomlin, coach of the Steelers, and Rodgers, they both have a bit of a rapport. They've been very complimentary of each other for quite a while. It's very much like a middle school crush, like passing love notes type of thing. This past season, Rodgers said about Tomlin, I'm a big Mike Tomlin fan. I have been for a long time. I like the way that he speaks about his team and the way he goes about his business. So clearly there's some admiration there from Aaron. I think they're a very appealing team. Like we talked about earlier, tons of weapons on that offense. Deontay Johnson, Najee Harris, Chase Claypool emerging, Pat Freiermuth, and they could obviously still add more talent. I'm not sure what their cap situation is, but I don't think it's unrealistic for Rodgers and Devontae Adams to be a package deal. Granted, Devontae Adams is probably trying to gun for a lot of money, but do you really think that if Rodgers went to a true contender, but Devontae Adams wouldn't take below market value to be reunited and go for another Super Bowl?
Oh, I 100%. I would take less money, like, to have a shot at a ring. Like, why not? You're already getting paid millions. What do you need more money for? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not package them both?
On the other hand, too, the Steelers have a good defense. They got T.J. Watt.
The sack master.
Mm-hmm. And I think most importantly for Rodgers, after all this drama with the organization of the Packers and how they handle things, the Steelers are a well-run organization and have been historically. They have stability. They have leadership internally. I think that would be very appealing to him, especially coming out of this very public feuding with the Packers and kind of like the cheapskate-ness of the entire situation.
Yeah, it's Yeah, I think that they both go to another team and just say, fuck the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they both go to the Niners.
I don't know about that.
There's a bold prediction for you.
You can't be defeated by the Niners if you are on the Niners.
That's right. Can't beat them? Join them.
the ultimate hardest road in Kevin Durant fashion.
I was just going to say, just like KD did, you can't beat him, join him.
I'm taking my talents to San Francisco.
That's right. And you can't beat the Bay, live, be the Bay.
But so that's my pitch for the Steelers. I think that's a really solid landing spot for him. The only really chink in the armor for me is that the O-line for them is pretty weak. They would need to improve that. And as a veteran quarterback and older guy, maybe he doesn't have the patience for that or doesn't want to take those hits. Mm-hmm. But also, I feel like it's not as hard to upgrade the O-line as it is other parts of a team. I think they realistically could grab a few rookies and shore up that O-line and make it a real contender.
Yeah, I agree. It's it'll be an interesting offseason this year.
That's for I have another one I wanted to talk about.
Oh.
Aaron Rodgers to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Ooh.
With his best friend, Davante Adams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this team, here's my logic behind this one. So also kind of a pretty good team overall with the Raiders. I did say I think it's only up for them from here. They've got Darren Waller, one of the best athletes playing today. Hunter mm-hmm. Renfro, who's emerged as a solid target. Pretty solid run game with Josh Jacobs and a decent defense. I think they're very limited by the quarterbacking there with Derek Carr. I don't think Derek Carr is good enough. And I also had mentioned that they really need an elite playmaker to take pressure off of the offense and open things up. Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, literally solves every problem for the Raiders. The Raiders become instant contenders, favorites maybe, overnight. Davante Adams opens up everything for that entire offense. Aaron Rodgers can make the throws. He can gun it. He can air it out. It would be insane to watch just from that perspective. And here's another thing. Aaron Rodgers, like a lot of big-name quarterbacks, big-name athletes, wants to go to California, wants to kind of settle down near Hollywood. He's dating Hollywood actress Shailene Woodley. It's not quite California, but Las Vegas is a hell of a lot closer than all these teams on the East Coast, even the Steelers, who are my favorite for him to go to. I could see that being very appealing to him.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, the Raiders, and I remember during the last, you know, this last offseason when there was talks about him going to the Raiders and whatnot, Derek Carr was like, I don't want to play for any other team. I'm a Raider for life. So he's just like, basically, I don't want to be a backup either. So uh-huh. He's going to retire, is what it sounded like. He's just not going to play football after, if that happens. So we'll see if what happens there. Yeah, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? It'd be cool if Rodgers went to the Raiders. The Raiderade would be...
The Raiderade would juicy. Be back, baby, and I would feel so dirty for drinking it.
You're a big Rodgers fan. We already know. Deep down, you admitted it a few episodes ago that you are a Rodgers fan. You can't deny it. It's on tape.
I did?
You did.
Wait, really?
On tape. Run it back. No.
I don't recall this.
Editor, run it back. Find the clip. I know he talked highly of Rodgers.
Somebody embarrassed me. I think I said he's good. I don't think I said I'm a fan.
Oh, no. You said you were a fan.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe I just manifested that in my brain and I made it factual.
I was voluntold.
Well, you just admitted it now. You just said, I'm a fan. Somebody just cut that up for us and clip it.
That one kind of... couple things with the Raiders situation, though. They are in need of a head coach, and I think that decision would definitely factor in to Rodgers. They probably need to get a coach before they can pitch to Rodgers. I don't think he'd go there and then they'd hire the coach, or maybe he would, but it would be like a backdoor dealing thing where, like, I'll come, but you got to get this guy.
I got a coach suggestion for you.
Urban Meyer.
Oh, then send him to Vegas where he can grind on all the underage co-eds.
I would love to watch him ruin Rodgers.
God. There is rumblings potentially Jim Harbaugh going to the Raiders.
Ooh.
Him and Rodgers, that would be an interesting interesting combo. I don't know if it'll happen or not.
That's the play I'm going for if I'm the Raiders this season.
Yeah. I mean, hire Harbaugh if he wants to come back to the NFL. I don't know what if he wants to leave Michigan or what, but that's my pick. That's who I would go for.
Or I like even, that. I like that a lot for the Raiders. I think you go for Harbaugh, make a pitch to Rodgers, get Adams too. I like this idea.
That'd be solid.
That's the ideal offseason for them.
Make it happen, Raiders. Do it.
Hire me as GM.
Do it or else.
Now, there is one caveat I should mention. So, Devontae Adams has actually kind of expressed interest in the Raiders already this past season and wanting to go play there since he is a free agent. However, part of that is because one of his best friends is Derek Carr. So in this scenario, he would basically be betraying his best friend for his other best friend to go there. So that would be 10. Some top 10 anime betrayals.
Top 10 anime betrayals.
So I kind of want this to happen just for that.
Oh, man. That would be wild.
And then what was a team that you would mention? You mentioned the Broncos. You like Rodgers landing there? Tell me a little bit about that.
Uh-oh. Real quick. Game update. Tom Brady. Tom Brady magic. Leonard Fournette. Touchdown, actually. 27-26.
Extra point 7. No!
42 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Why are we recording right now?
God dang. Whatever.
On the other screen.
Wow. That's crazy.
Brady just doing goat shit out here.
Dang. 27-27, 42 seconds left. Wow. That's wild. Rams are going to choke it. They're going to choke hard. Watch Stafford throw a pick six. Anyway.
Absolutely insane.
Back to what we were talking about.
Why are the Broncos an intriguing option for Rodgers?
I think it's just strictly based on the young receiving core, like the talent, the receiving talents there.
They got Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton.
And their O-line's decent, I think. I don't know. I haven't really paid attention to the Broncos this year, so I'm not sure why people were like, Broncos.
I think they're kind of in a similar position to like a Raiders scenario where, you know, they have Teddy Bridgewater. Like, if they had any other quarterback, they'd probably be doing a hell of a lot better.
Yeah. But I also, if you're looking at, like, if you're looking at divisions and your chances of making the playoffs, what division do you want to go to? Do you really want to go battle Patrick Mahomes in the AFC West? Or would you rather go to, like, the Colts in the AFC South where you're almost guaranteed to win the division, you know?
Right.
Or to win, yeah.
That's a good point.
Because our talent is there. We have it. It's there. We're just missing a quarterback. Get Wentz out of there and put Rodgers in. The win-win for everybody. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you we make the playoffs and we win the division.
It's kind of mutually beneficial as well because it takes pressure off of Taylor and pressure off of Rodgers. They both kind of get to preserve one another. And that RPO pass game that they love to run, like that would be so fucking dirty with Aaron Rodgers instead of Carson Wentz.
Yeah, it would be like, I think our odds of winning it all would go skyrocket. Mm-hmm. Shoot, I should place a bet now.
Play the Jaguars.
Yeah, we haven't recorded since then. I don't want to talk about that. Moving on. Moving on. I think that day I had to go to the beach and reflect on what transpired.
Looking out at the sun like Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, insert music.
Good times.
Right. Yeah.
I think we're almost wrapping it up. I just wanted to bring up one more fun little idea I was cooking up. I haven't heard you mention this, so I'm kind of excited to see your reaction. let me get some things in order. I want to see what the division is. Second. Did Stafford just fumble the ball?
He got sacked. I see a sack. I don't know.
Okay, I got a little nervous there.
If he did fumble, then GG. That's wild. Yeah, they lost. The Rams this game have lost 3 fumbles.
Okay, so my last potential landing spot for Aaron Rodgers. This is a team that is really just a quarterback away. They've mm-hmm. got pretty good receiving options, an elite run game, an elite defense, all around solid. Cleveland Browns.
Oh, baby, the Cleveland Browns.
I could see the Packers taking 3 first-rounders and Baker Mayfield and sending Rodgers out there. And they're still in a bloodbath of a division. But I just think that's pretty appealing just because their O-line is so strong. And like we right. mentioned before, a lot of older quarterbacks are pocket passers. I was going to say pocket passers. any pocket passers really don't want to be getting hit a lot. I think they're super appealing in that sense. Now, the downside to the Browns is their receiving options are really not that strong. But that's when Aaron Rodgers' best friend, Davante Adams, comes into play.
Oh, man. The game's over, Joe.
Is it?
Cooper Kupp, back-to-back deep passes. Rams win it 30-27.
Cooper Kupp does it, baby.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Cooper Kupp for 20 yards and then 44 yards.
Oh, back-to-back behind. I just saw that pass. What a man. They hit the field goal. You're not lying to me.
You'll find out. Maybe I am.
I feel bad for Brady. That was a very impressive comeback.
Yeah.
Hopefully that young man will win a ring one day.
Yeah, you know he's got his whole life ahead of him. Bright future.
God, Cooper Kupp is a fucking beast.
What a hero. But the Cleveland Browns, you were saying.
Mm-hmm. So I think the only problem with the Cleveland Browns is they really don't have any receiving options. But if they get Davante Adams in the package deal, I think it's over.
I think so too. They could even trade away Kareem Hunt if they wanted to. They could just keep Chubb.
I don't think they do that. I think the Chubb Hunt, the Chunt, as we call it here around here. I think that's just too strong, too powerful.
All right, fans, get hashtag Chunt trending.
I love my chunt.
Oh my god, it's too close to the unforgivable word.
But yeah, so that was pretty much all I had as far as the Rodgers situation goes. We covered a lot of playoff football. It is now official. As we're done recording this episode, the Rams will be facing the 49ers in the NFC game. I'm pretty sure we're going to have the Niners moving on, so we'll check in everybody next week. Do you have any other topics you wanted to touch on or parting thoughts, sir?
I don't believe so. I think that is it. I think sorry everybody for it being kind of like sporadic, but you know, when there's a game going on, live updates are always nice, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And this episode ran a little longer than the others, but that's because it's been a while.
Mm-hmm. Been a lot to talk about.
Lots to talk about. Had to get you the content out there. It's good to be back. Hopefully we can we'll try to make it a little bit more consistent. I can't make any promises because we're all busy. You know, life hits you. What can you do? You got any parting words, Joe?
Let's get Chunt trending on Twitter.
That's right. Hashtag Chunt.
And speaking of Twitter, Jake, where can the fan base faithful find us?
Oh, the fan base faithful can find us on Twitter at Fanbase Radio 1. There I go again.
You sounded very confident about that.
Yeah, at Fanbase Radio 1 on Twitter. You could probably just even search Fanbase Radio and we'll pop up. You'll see the three of us on the picture. Give us a follow. Give us a like. Give us a retweet. Share the podcast wherever you get the podcasts at.
Like the podcast, comment the
like
podcast,
it. Comment
the podcast, Patreon the podcast, OnlyFans the podcast, Twitch the podcast, everything. MySpace me.
Yeah. Add me to your top 8. Make us your profile music on MySpace.
Fanbase Radio TikTok challenge. Say chuck in a crowded room.
That's right. And if you got connections to Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt, let us know and see what they think about hashtag Chunt.
Yeah, we'll get the merch.
We'll get the merch out there. Don't worry. See what they think. Maybe we could do a collab. But on that note.
Jake, one moment. I just wanted to provide something for you. Some more fuel for the fire for your hopes for the Colts to take Aaron Rodgers. One of the greatest punters of all time. And former Colts great, Pat McAfee. He obviously has a very successful sports show that Aaron Rodgers is on just about every Tuesday. So they have a close working relationship. Maybe Pat McAfee is in Aaron Rodgers' ear, being the soothsayer, being the grimace worm tongue, telling him, oh, the Colts are great. Indianapolis is fun. There's so much to do there. And maybe he convinces Rodgers. Maybe that's what tips the scales.
I like it. Pat McAfee does have the ear of the organization. We're all big fans of Pat
McAfee. And he's a big fan of the Colts.
Oh, man. Come on, Pat. Shout out.
Pull through for us, Pat.
Don't let me down, Pat. Please. All right. Well,
that covers it for me. That's all I got.
All right. Well, everybody, we hope you are having a good new year so far. And we'll talk to you hopefully next week. Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye. Bye, Joe.
Goodbye.